ॐ अज्ञानतिवरणस्य निरञ्जना श्लोकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरुदेव नमः। मुखं करोति पार्श्वं भङ्गं भङ्गायते गिरे यत्कृपा तमहं भजे श्रीगुरुमुनितं। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिविराजस्वामिति नाम्नि। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी न्यवशेषा शून्यवाणी पाश्चाचार्य सतारिणी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासव गौरवाणी। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। I'm going to speak just shortly, just to, as Shankar Prabhu said, to set the tenor, to set the mood for the offerings which all of you, hopefully, or many of you, will be making to Srila Prabhupada. And for those who won't be making offerings, at least the mood will be set so that you understand what's taking place. This is for the life of a devotee, an aspiring devotee, who has come in contact with Krishna consciousness in the West. In most cases, the catalyst for having that experience was as a result of the efforts of His Divine Grace, Bhakti Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Vyasa Puja is the day we observe once a year to offer our homage to our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada through prayer, glorification, and deep introspection, for especially offerings of gratitude, which are meant for the pleasure of Krishna. Prabhupada may not want, may not feel so inclined to accept these words of prayer, and as many of us personally experienced during His manifest presence, every time He saw a manifestation of Krishna consciousness throughout the world, He always gave credit to His own spiritual master, never wanting to take credit for Himself. Or, as I remember, a favorite quote of mine was Prabhupada's diary entry in February 1966. When Prabhupada just arrived in America, practically just a few months prior, and it was the very beginning, barely a beginning, of Krishna consciousness as we know it today. And Prabhupada had the opportunity to do a recording with a few hippies chanting Hare Krishna together. And Prabhupada wrote a diary entry on that particular day. I don't remember the exact date, except it was February 1966. And he said, "Today we have personally witnessed, the true glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not my doing, but it is simply the activities and desires of Lord Chaitanya that we've come together and seen that others are chanting Krishna's names." And then he referred to Haridas Thakur, a quote which he made, that by the potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the potency of the holy name, he said even animals and lower forms of life can take up the chanting. He says, today I have personally witnessed it. So Prabhupada, I guess this, it was his first exposure to hippies in America. And that was his observation, is that even lower life forms could become Vaishnavas by the power of the holy name, and this is it all due to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, this is not my doing at all. That was Prabhupada's mood, always. And we always observe that, and we can continue to observe it by listening to his lectures. And his proof is there that he always gave credit to his own spiritual master and to Lord Chaitanya. Yeah. And he even said when he was reading his own books, he says, I have not written these books, Krishna has written them, and therefore I must read them. So, although he may not be so inclined to hear these words of prayer and glorification, nonetheless, it is very pleasing for Krishna to observe, to hear the glories of his pure devotees. And he would himself, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would, every time he would refer to his own devotees, his own close intimate associates, it's described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that when he would speak about them, he would speak as if he had ten mouths. He would be so eager to glorify. And therefore, sometimes he puts devotees in difficult situations so that the true testimony of their devotion, conviction, and firm faith in the words of their own spiritual master and the teachings of Lord Krishna will become recognized by the world, such as that which we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, that it was not an easy endeavor. We glorify him and express our appreciation for him, because it was he who took up the order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to take Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world and to come to that place where nobody had come before, to plant Krishna Bhakti in the hearts of even two-legged animals. And he would always beam and smile with great pleasure and satisfaction, as I personally witnessed Prabhupada many times. By great fortune, I would personally witness Prabhupada smiling to see his dancing white elephants, the Western devotees, as they were enthusiastically chanting and dancing in his presence. It would bring him great pleasure to see this, and he would also give many, many instructions he would leave behind to see that this phenomena would continue after his absence. So Vyasa Puja is certainly a very important day for those who have any appreciation whatsoever in their heart for the gifts that Srila Prabhupada has given to the world by introducing Krishna Bhakti in those places where it had been unheard of, never known, or never observed, never seen before. He made Krishna consciousness accessible. And anyone who comes to our Krishna consciousness movement, whether it was those who are coming in his physical presence or those who continue to come for years and hundreds and thousands of years afterwards, Prabhupada was always very keen to make sure that they got the essence, they got the seed of bhakti, they got the pure message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of his books, in the form of his lectures, and what he hoped very much in the form of his International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which he many times told us that he wanted to see continue for the next 10,000 years in the golden age of Kali. And we see personally that Prabhupada's books and his manifest presence in his books, they still have that same potency to change hearts. And they still have that same potency to awaken within those who may not even be resisting to the thoughts or the ideas of devotion to Sri Krishna. Even though there may be some resisting, the potency is still there, that even though one may want, because Prabhupada wanted it so much and put that intense desire in his books, that hearts can change, even unexpectedly, by reading his books. I remember it was a Vyasa Puja offering I wrote one year. I was in Montreal at the time, and many years ago, I can't remember, maybe about 18 years ago. And I was writing my Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada, as I do every year, and have done for the last 40 years. And it had to be done in a certain time to be put into the book that's compiled each year, which we have here today, although this year I didn't compile my Vyasa Puja offering in time for the book. I wrote it just simply the day before yesterday. But nonetheless, at that particular time, I had a deadline. I had one more day to finish my offering. And I was sitting in Montreal, and I had set aside specifically about 2 hours to write it. And all of a sudden, the temple president at that time, his name was Nishingananda, he came into the room and said, "Maharaj, can you spare some time to speak to a guest who's come?" And my mind was protesting, because I knew I only had 2 hours at that time to write the offering. And I said, "Well, I have this program this afternoon, I have these meetings this afternoon, I have this program tonight, deadline is tomorrow night, this is the only time I have to write my offering." He said, "But Maharaj, he's only come just for a few minutes, he's a very nice man." And I said, "Well, who is he?" He said, "Well, he used to be the commissioner of police of Montreal, he just came just to once a..." So I said, "Well, okay, I'll go speak to him." I went into the front room, reception room, and here was this elderly man. And I said, "I heard that you wanted to speak, to have a few questions." And then that was it. Catalyst, he just went into about a 45-minute glorification of Prabhupada. And he said, "We've not met before." He says, "But I thought I'd introduce myself. My name is so-and-so. I used to be the commissioner of police in Montreal." He says, "I was here in 1970, whatever year that Prabhupada was visiting Montreal. I think it was 1974, 75, maybe 76, one of those years." He says, "I was at the airport when your spiritual master arrived." And he said, "And I saw, I was on duty." And he said, "I saw how it was received. And ever since that time, I don't know why, and I regret why I didn't join the movement back then immediately." And he said, "I was so attracted to him that I wanted to find out more about him." And he said, "I ended up getting this book and pulled out a Bhagavad Gita." He says, "See this Bhagavad Gita as it is?" He says, "I don't go anywhere without it." He says, "I've read this Bhagavad Gita 36 times. I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He says, is that every time I go someplace and I have a spare moment, I immediately pull out this Bhagavad Gita, I start reading. So sometimes my wife, she goes shopping. Most husbands, when they take their wives shopping, it's a very regrettable time. But my wife, when she goes into the shopping center, she says, I may be a little while. She says, take as long as you want. I've got my Bhagavad Gita. And he said, you know, my wife, she didn't really accept Prabhupada like I did. She tried to understand. He said, but then, she said, I got this book. You see this book, Prabhupada Lilamrita? He said, I've read this book also. We read it every night together. And then he went on glorifying. It's glorifying Prabhupada. I thought he had a few questions to ask, but actually, I had nothing to say. I just sat there and just soaked it all in. And then after about 45 minutes, he went to the door, but said, thank you very much for your time. And then standing at the door, he lingered for about another 15 minutes when he had a few more things to say about Prabhupada before he left. And then finally, after about an hour, he left. And then I went back into the room. I said, oh my God, I've been sitting here for an hour trying to think about what to write to glorify Prabhupada. And this man wrote my whole offering. So the next morning, I didn't have any time left. So the next morning, I just wrote everything. He said, and I realized that was my Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada. This is what his books do. This was 15, 20 years after Prabhupada's departure. His books, still jewels, foundation of our lives, the very essence of our existence in this world. And really, for those who openly, Prabhupada would oftentimes say, if you want to taste honey, you have to take the lid off and you have to taste it yourself, otherwise you'll never know how sweet it is, because if you look at it, it may not look like genuine honey. So for those who take the lid off and enter in and accept the gifts genuinely with their hearts and embrace what Srila Prabhupada has given us, they have something. It may not act immediately. It may take time. We've seen in many cases how sometimes it takes 15, 20, 30 years, maybe even lifetimes, before the seed actually begins to grow and gradually into a very nice devotional plant. And therefore, we may think even today that, oh yes, I've come in contact with Krishna consciousness, but I still don't feel gratitude, appreciation for all that Srila Prabhupada has given me. But we should know that even this moment's association with anything that Srila Prabhupada has given to this world will gradually act in the heart. And although we may not experience that gratitude now, we may go through anxiety, distress, even suffering and pain, and wondering, why has this happened to me? Still, the day will come, as Narada Muni spoke to Vyas in the Bhagavatam, said, one who forsakes his material occupation to engage in the devotional service of the Lord, he may even fall away in an immature stage, but there's no danger of his ever being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, even though perfectly engaged in his moral activities, has not gained anything. He says, my dear Vyas, anyone who's once relished a taste of Krishna's lotus feet, even for a moment, they'll never be able to forget that ecstasy again and again. So, Prabhupada oftentimes quoted that verse, and he knew that he was giving something very high, something very demanding, and not everybody was going to be ready to take it. He says, when you're selling diamonds, not everybody wants to pay the price. Sometimes people want imitation. So if they want imitation, they'll always look how they can pay less. Well, I've got diamonds, but yes, you paid less for those diamonds. It's imitation. They're not real. So if you want imitation diamonds, you can pay less. But if you want real diamonds, you have to be ready to pay the price. So Prabhupada says, I'm giving diamonds. These are the jewels. He's given everything as the jewel. Not only that, but Prabhupada saw the jewel in everyone. Because he saw everyone as Krishna's servant. He saw everyone as Krishna's devotee. And therefore, he saw the jewel in everyone, and he was always very painstakingly polishing that jewel and bringing out the best in everyone. That is Prabhupada. And never was there, will be there again, will we have the opportunity to, will there be anyone else? As long as we're in association with his Krishna consciousness movement, will there be anyone else that will be able to offer our words of gratitude? Then, Srila Prabhupada, he is that person. He is the founder, Acharya. His books are the foundation of this movement. His followers are always meditating on his instructions. And the deities he installed, Krishna, who personally came and who appeared by his request, by his prayer, everything that we have of any value in our lives is because of Prabhupada. And if we see something valuable and we don't see it connected to Prabhupada, then we should know it's illusion. It's not really valuable. Prabhupada has given us the real jewels, the real thing. And he's simply asking for us to take it wholeheartedly and embrace that which he's given and have faith that it's all there. In due course of time, it will all become revealed. Everything will become manifest for those who know that there's nothing else. Prabhupada gave everything. And those who know that there's nothing else, there are no alternatives in this world to achieve the state, elevated state of consciousness that Prabhupada came to give, then through his teachings and his example. So, with that conviction, even if we don't have words to offer today to Srila Prabhupada, we will have words to offer in the future. Whether it's now, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, or 100 lifetimes from now, we should always feel grateful. And we always will have a reason to feel grateful for Srila Prabhupada. So on his Vyasa Puja day, the devotees who have these feelings, they offer their unique words of glorification, prayer, and petition to Srila Prabhupada with their heart. It is not the time to look for our own personal recognition, but simply we look for the opportunity to please Krishna by allowing him and providing him the glorification of a devotee who is so very dear to him and will always be very dear to him. As Krishna himself said, there'll never be a servant in this world who is more dear to me than he. Nor will there ever be one who is more dear. Who is he speaking about? Yaidam Paramabhuyam Vadbhaktesha Pujasati. For those who explain the supreme secret of devotional service to others, for them, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end they come back to me. So Prabhupada has gone back to Krishna, but he's left behind this heritage, this. He's left behind the boat for us to cross the same ocean that he crossed in the form of his instructions and teachings and his example. That is the meaning of Vyasa Puja for all of us here today. And I hope that I helped all of you to understand what we're doing here. so I think we're going to have some devotees have prepared offerings for Prabhupada. I have also prepared an offering. Generally, the tradition is we go before Prabhupada, we offer our obeisances, and we read to him our offering. Or if we have not written something and we wish to say something spontaneously, extemporaneously, even just a few words of glorification and gratitude, I believe that opportunity is available to anyone today who wishes to do so. And I guess I'll begin by reading my Vyasa Puja offering to Prabhupada, and then we'll ask Guru Prasad if he prepared something. After, then we'll offer something, and then I think Shankar knows the lineup. Is that okay?
Certainly, Maharaj.
And as you go up to offer yours to Srila Prabhupada, I'll ask you to offer the
Vyasa Puja. We'll offer the Vyasa Puja book.
To Srila Prabhupada. Uh-huh. So Maharaj was referring to the offerings, and this is...
Please accept my prostrated obeisances in the dust of your lotus feet. All glories to your divine grace. During the months of May, June, 1972, you wrote individualized letters to several disciples containing the same theme. Quote, "Now I want that we shall concentrate on making our devotees Krishna conscious and ourselves becoming Krishna conscious, and not be so much concerned with expanding ourselves widely but without any spiritual content. Just like boiling the milk, it becomes thicker and sweeter. Now do like that. Boil the milk." This is a letter to Vanuga, dated 9th of May, 1972. Not long after these letters were written, a guest began visiting your temple in Boston. Little did he know at the time that this was your mood. Neither was this ever discussed. As far as he knew, Krishna consciousness was still expanding widely, and the clarion call to recruit many more soldiers into Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army was gradually drawing another recruit into its ranks. His name, or as he was called then, was Bhaktaniya. Now exactly 40 years later, this same recruit, known now as Niranjana Swami, is just beginning to realize that the condensed milk preparation you wanted to make at that time still needs more boiling, especially because he, somehow or other, was added into the preparation even though you wanted only to turn up the flame. Quote, May 9th, 1972, "You can thin milk by adding water, then you can make it thick by boiling. Now is the time for us to begin the boiling process." Srila Prabhupada, you are the best cook ISKCON has ever known, and with your own hands you personally taught disciples how to cook for Krishna's pleasure. This is a quote from The Great Transcendental Adventure. On the Tuesday afternoon, at the request of Tushta Krishna, Prabhupada entered the kitchen to show a couple of ladies how to cook milk sweets. Prabhupada poured a couple of liters of milk into a wide pan, added sugar, and brought it to a rapid rolling boil. Stirring methodically, he condensed and sweetened the milk until it reached a creamy, sauce-like consistency. Lowering the heat and stirring more firmly, he further reduced the mixture to a very thick, dark, cream-colored, sticky paste that started to pull away from the sides. Prabhupada then scraped the milk fudge onto the side of the pan. It was done. Now the burfi, when cooled, could be rolled into balls or pressed into a tray and cut into squares, ready to offer to Radha and Krishna. End of quote. Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON is one of your preparations still requiring your attention. I know, because I am that Niranjana Swami who slipped into your movement, even though you warned that no recruit should come until everyone was more perfectly trained. Quote, June 20th, 1972. "We may thin the milk till it becomes useless, or we may boil it until it becomes thick and sweet. So now we have got enough followers. Let us train them up perfectly in the philosophy and activities of Krishna consciousness way of life." A letter to Stopa Krishna, June 20th, 1972. "I'm not sure why you allowed me to join despite my lack of qualifications. Neither can I understand why you accepted me as your disciple very shortly thereafter. Both of these events can only be explained as your unlimited and causeless mercy. My gratitude for this knows no bounds. I did not deserve to be trained in the way that you called for it 40 years back. I'm sorry to confess this to you, but after 40 years in your service, I'm still not fully trained. Due to my own causeless unwillingness to surrender, I have been able to fully embrace all that you came to give us. On this most auspicious day of your divine appearance in this world, I beg you, please continue this boiling process with me and never stop training me up, quote, in the philosophy and activities of Krishna consciousness way of life. Help me to become thick and sweet, and don't allow me to water down your mission any longer. Someday, whenever you deem fit, please allow me to truly follow in your footsteps and cook very condensed sweets, making each of them ready to be offered to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Your faithful servant, always in need of the dust from your two lotus feet, Niranjana Swami." Gita Prabhupada Gita.